I want to get right into the word today. If you have your Bibles, you can open to Deuteronomy 20. But we'll have it on the screen too. And I want to talk to anybody today, whether you're a new believer, you've been in the faith for decades, or you're anywhere in between. If you feel like God has something new for you today, I wanna give you a word of encouragement. And I feel like, you know, I walked in and this morning I saw a couple who's newly married. God has something new for them. I saw a newer believer who got baptized last week. God has something new for them. But it's not just milestones that we hit when God has something new for us. It's continually in the walk of faith, continually in our spiritual life. If we keep our eyes open and we follow God, there's always something new that God has for us. Do you believe today that God has something new for you? When I said earlier, when I took the offering, I said God wants to pour out he wants to open up the floodgates of heaven and pour blessings on you. He wants to do that over. It's not a one-time thing. He wants to do that over and over and over. God wants to keep blessing you and keep bringing you into new places. Amen. Someone said, new levels, new devils. And so every time you walk into something new, though, there's a new battle. And Deuteronomy 20 is Moses talking to the Israelites at Moab, and it's right before they're walking into the promised land. So they've gone 40 years in the wilderness, and they've been going and going and going, and finally they're about to walk into the promised land. You know, there are promises that God has for us, but there are new promises. As much as you seek God, there can be new promises every week that you can walk into a new promised land every time. God has new things, but with those new things, there are new battles. There's always something new. You know, there's always something that God's growing us in, but then there are ways that the enemy tries to attack us and distract us. And when you face those battles, you have to be prepared. Moses is talking to the Israelites, and he's giving them like a pregame speech. It's like, before you go into the wilderness, here is what I want to remind you of. Here's what I want to warn you of. Here's what I want to tell you so that you are ready for the battle. How many of you guys want to be, not just, you know, when you walk into something new, we want to receive what God has for us, but we've got to be ready for the battle that might come with that. So Deuteronomy 20, it says this. When you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, what does it say? Do not be afraid of them. Why? Because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. When you are about to go into battle, the priest shall come forward and address the army. He shall say, "Hear, Israel, today you are going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies to give you victory. The officers shall say to the army, 'Has anyone built a new house and not yet begun to live in it? Let him go home, or he may die in battle and someone else may begin to live in it. Has anyone planted a vineyard and not begun to enjoy it? Let him go home, or he may die in battle and someone else enjoy it. Has anyone become pledged to a woman and not married her? Let him go home, or he may die in battle and someone else marry her.' Then the officers shall add, 'Is anyone afraid or faint-hearted? Let him go home so that his fellow soldiers will not become disheartened too.'" I want to, before we get into all of it, I want to reread the first verse. It says, when you go to war against your enemies and see horses and chariots and an army greater than yours, do not be afraid of them, because the Lord your God, who brought you up out of Egypt, will be with you. Amen. Romans 8 says, what then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, what? Who can be against us? If God is for you, nothing and nobody of any consequence can really be against you. Moses is getting them ready for new ground, for new blessing, for promises fulfilled. And the title of today's message is The Battle Before the Battle. You see, all of us are going to have battles this week. All of us are going to have battles this month. All of us are going to have new battles this year. But are you ready for the battle? Because how you get ready for the battle will dictate everything about how the battle goes. If you prepare, if you take the battle before the battle seriously, then when the battle comes, you're already prepared. You already know what's coming. I played baseball in high school, and I was very, very average. So as average as they come. And our team was as average as they come. We would most of the time beat the teams that were not as good as us, and most of the time get killed by the teams that were much better than us. And our coach would have this saying, the game within the game. And he would always talk about the game within the game. Okay, if the score, you know, if let's make the score irrelevant for a moment. If you just do this and you do that enough, then you'll always win. So he would say, we gotta win the games within the games. And one time we were playing this team that was much better than us. They were ranked very high in the state, and they had this guy on their team named Bo Flowers. Bo Flowers was a monster. He got drafted by the Yankees eventually, and we were about to play them, and our coach said, we just gotta win the games within the game. And if you win enough of the games within the game, we've got a shot to really win this. And strategy error number one of that game is I was pitching. And so the game within the game for me pitching was our coach said, don't pitch to Bo Flowers. When he's up to bat, don't even throw him a strike. Go, I didn't throw hard. I didn't have a lot of movement on my ball, but I had good control. And he said, whatever you do, don't throw him a strike. So Bo Flowers gets up, we throw ball after ball after ball, and we walk him. Don't even give him a chance to swing. And he was so frustrated. So between innings, the catcher, one of my close friends, he comes to me and he says, he was so mad that we just walked him, we didn't give him anything to hit. He's gonna try to swing next time. He said, we won't throw him a strike, but if we get two strikes on him, then we throw him something he'll swing at. I was like, all right. He was like, listen, you've got movement on your ball today. You're throwing harder than I've ever seen. I was like, really? It's like, yeah, we got this. Bo Flowers who? So a couple innings later, Bo Flowers comes up, throw him a ball, doesn't swing. Throw him a ball, doesn't swing. It's 2-0, throw him another ball, and he swings and he fouls it off, so strike one. Then we throw him a ball in the dirt, strike two. He's got two strikes on him. Throw him a ball way over his head, he doesn't swing. It's a full count, so I've got the option. I can either walk him or strike him out, right? Two options. So the catcher, my friend, calls for a changeup outside. My changeup is the same as my fastball. I just throw one speed, just very slow. Throw him a changeup. That changeup winds up 400 feet over the right field fence, cracks the catcher, my friend's windshield of his minivan. That was his fault. My coach is there screaming, the game within the game, the game within the game. You gave him something to hit, pulled me out of the game. I was benched. We got killed. Bo Flowers did what Bo Flowers does. You've got to play the battle before the battle. You got to play the game within the game. If you do that, every step of the way, God will be with you. If you play the battle before the, listen, you know what the battle before the battle is? The battle before the battle, staying close to God. Amen. You know why it's so important that you're here today on a Sunday? It's because tomorrow it's not a checklist of, oh, I attended church, now God's happy, now God likes me, now everything will be good. That's not what this is. This is Sunday, you come to church so that Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you are ready for the battles that are coming up against you.
right.
The battle before the battle, stay close to God. Amen. That's what Moses is telling them. He's saying, hey, you're going to see some things. They're going to be scary. We're going to go through some things. They're going to be tough. But guess what? If God is for you, who can be against you? So listen, I just want to give you three quick things that this text shows us. And I want to tell you right now, I want us to end right here at the altar because I want us to pray. I want us to pray that God, I want us to pray for the battles that we might be in, and I want us to pray for the battles that we might come up against soon. Because if you're not in a battle now, there's one coming, and it's how you prepare for that battle that'll dictate everything that happens inside that battle. Even secular people know, even Sun Tzu said this, victorious warriors win first and then they go to war. You can win first and then go to war. You can be ready for the battle, and then once the battle comes, it's easy to win there. But it starts with the battle before the battle. So listen, number one, don't let what you see shake what you know. Everybody point to your eyes. Your eyes are powerful, but your eyes can be deceptive. Because what Moses says here is he says, hey, you're gonna see chariots and horses that are really big. Guess who's bigger? God. Amen. Guess who's not bigger? You. So if you try to face those chariots and those horses on your own, good luck. But if you try to face those chariots and those horses with God, then God will do what he's always done. Amen. Here's what Moses is saying. Remember, he's talking to the Israelites. So they've been in the wilderness for 40 years. But before that, he's saying you've seen chariots before. Egypt had chariots. Pharaoh chased them with chariots. Israel had been trapped at the Red Sea with an army behind them and water in front of them, and God delivered them. Listen, sometimes in life, you will see things that will remind you of your past. It's not for you to go back into your past. It's for you to be reminded of what God delivered you from. He's saying, hey, you may say, you know what? I experienced trauma in the past. I never want to think or talk about that again. You may say, I experienced neglect and abandonment and rejection in the past. I never want to talk or think about that again. I was tempted in these ways in the past. I never want to talk, think, or discuss that ever again. Just opening your mind here, that's not how life works. You're gonna be reminded of things. The Israelites, Moses is saying, hey, those chariots that caused, imagine that you're just trying to live your life and get freedom, and there are chariots and horses that come and take you away and lock you up just for trying to experience freedom, just for trying to follow God's will. It brings trauma up. And so now when you're about to go fight a new battle and you're gonna see chariots and horses, Moses is saying, hey, you're gonna see those things that are gonna remind you of your past. Don't fall for it. It's just an intimidation factor. This week, the enemy's number one ploy and plot to get you off of God's will, it's just intimidation. He's just gonna try to remind you of what you were in your past. He's going to try to remind you of Egypt. But no, those chariots and those horses, you can look at them. Those things that are bigger, you can look at them. Those temptations, you can look at them. Those feelings of condemnation and guilt, they are not of God. You can look at them and you can say, no, my God is for me. Who can be against me? Moses is saying, hey, we've been through this before. It might look a little different right now. You've been through this before. You know this. Don't let what you see shake what you know. You know that God is with you. You know God has delivered you before. So don't let new things try to throw you off of God's step and God's will and God's plan for your life. Fear can begin with sight, though. And what happens is we don't just see, it's not that we see things. It's we start to script things. I was uh, I have a 3-month-old, 3.5-month-old, and this past Friday, I didn't realize it, but her brand new daycare that we take her to 2 days a week was closed for the holiday. So that meant that it was daddy-daughter day for the whole day, for a full 8, 9, 10 hours for the very first time. And she won't say it, but mom was a little nervous. And so my wife went to work, and she gave very detailed instructions. She's like, remember, remember, remember. I'm like, this, I've got this. So for some reason, while she's at work, I'm getting a lot more text messages checking in than usual. And one after the other, and I'm responding, and everything's going great. And then my wife texts me one time, and I gave her an update, and I said, yeah, she took a bottle at this time. And then the dots came up. She's typing, and then they disappeared. And I don't know if you're anything like me, but when those dots disappear, you start to create this script in your mind. Your imagination starts to run wild. And forget a script, it was like a whole Netflix series popped into my mind. And I was like, oh no, what did I do wrong? My wife's, like, if the dots were there, but then she stopped, she was trying to figure out how to say something that she doesn't know how she should say it. And I'm like, wait, did I feed her too soon? Did I feed her too late? So I'm on Google, I'm on WebMD, I'm on Reddit, I'm all over the place. And I'm like, I don't think I did anything wrong. And then sure enough, 45 minutes go by and she gives me a thumbs up on the last text message. I was like, oh, okay, we're good. How many of us, we live from those three dots disappearing, or we get a text message that says, hey, can you talk? And now that, hey, can you talk, we go into a spin zone and we're like, oh no, my relationship's over, I'm gonna be single forever. Or we have a weird encounter at work and we think, all right, I gotta get my cardboard box because I'm getting canned today and I gotta get home, I gotta find a new job. Or we start to run rampant with the stories in our heads that are so far from the truth. Fear can start to make us think things that are not even true. What we see can start to script a whole narrative that can shake us off of the real foundation that we have in our lives. Don't start to fill in the blanks for the enemy when God has already told you what the truth is. Faith is not ignoring what you see, but those things might happen, but it's knowing my God is greater and he's for me. The Israelites, he's saying, hey, you're gonna see chariots and horses and you're gonna see them and then you're gonna look at your army and you're gonna say something is off here. They have a lot more than we have. He said, don't let that shake you. Don't let that, listen, it might be real. The math might not math for you. The numbers might not add up. But don't let it shake you from the real things that you know. Don't let it shake you off of the solid ground that you're on. You might get bad news this week. You might get a bill that you say, I don't know how this is gonna get paid. You might get a hospital report and you say, okay, this throws everything off. God is just saying, hey, when you get bad news, don't take that. That's an intimidation factor. Don't let it derail you from the one thing that matters, and that's your faith. I saw a clip yesterday. Anybody know the movie Jaws? It was made in 1975, so it's a little bit of a legacy piece. But when it first came out, it was it was huge, but because it was so scary. But the reason, do you know why it was scary? Not necessarily because of the shark. The shark, Jaws, I don't know if that's his name, but yeah, okay, Jaws, He's probably the main character of the movie, the central theme, the thing that makes you think about how scary it is. He doesn't show up until the last quarter of the movie. Three quarters of the movie goes by, and people say it's so scary. Why is it scary? It's not scary because the shark is there. It's scary because when they were filming, they made a prop, and that was Jaws. That's how they filmed him. And he malfunctioned a couple of times, and that caused real danger on the set. So then when everything was finally like smooth and okay, and they made the film, everybody had these predisposed notions of how scary and how crazy this thing was. But then for 90 minutes of the movie, people are watching and they're scared, they're frightened, they're terrified. Why? Because there's a huge shark that's gonna eat them? No, just because of the thought of how dangerous that shark can be. How many times are we paralyzed by the thoughts and by the expectation of something that's not even there? It doesn't even exist. It's not present. And yet they were still so terrified of it. People were in theaters terrified. Why? Because it was just an idle threat that wasn't even on the screen. You and me, we have to be careful not to let what we see create a whole narrative and a whole script of things that can produce fear inside of us. It can start to shake us off of what we know. You know, do not be afraid, do not fear is in the Bible 365 times. One time for every day of the year. Why? Because if fear is not gonna take a day off, then faith can't take a day off. We need it every single day. Number two, don't let worry be louder than God's word. What does Moses tell them? Moses says, hey, you're gonna see this, you're gonna see this, don't be afraid. And then here's what's gonna happen. The next thing he says, the priests are gonna come. Wait, what about the generals? What about strategy? What about the colonels? No, the priests are gonna come. Why? Because every warrior needs a preacher. Before the war, you need the word. Before the war, you need the word. Before the battle that you face this week, you need to be full of the word of God. Before the battle that you face next month, you've gotta prepare now with the word of God. Don't wait till you're in the midst of the battle to try to get a word from God. Can God speak to you there? Yes. Is it the best way to hear from God? Is it the best way to be prepared? No. Imagine that, you know, I know I was talking to somebody this past couple weeks ago, and they were going through something. They're like, I tried to find something in the word, but I just couldn't find it. I said, how'd you try and find it? He's like, well, I just opened the Bible. And so if you just open the Bible, you're just gonna get whatever's on the page. So imagine that, like, I'm going through it this week. And I say, I need a promise. If I just say, oh, I'm gonna open up the Bible, I might open the Bible and it's like, Jesus wept. All right, let's try this again, God, close it. And go and do it to others. You know, do it just like I did. And you're like, wait, all I know is to cry, to weep. Jesus wept, and go and do like so to others. No, that's not how God tries to fill you. He wants to spend time with you every day. He wants to fill you with His word so that you have a whole repertoire of weapons against the enemy when battles arise. You shouldn't be waiting until you're in the midst of the battle. When you come to the battle, you should be ready with ammo. Amen. And here's what it does. Here's what the enemy tries to do is Moses describes how fear escalates right here. In chapter 20, verse 3, it says this. Hear, Israel, today you're going into battle against your enemies. Do not be faint-hearted or afraid. Do not panic or be terrified by them. So look, this is the progression of fear. It starts small, faint-hearted. The heart starts to weaken, but you're like, I don't know, you know, indecision, and I don't know if God's got me. Then you start to become afraid. Fear begins to take hold. Then you start to panic. Fear starts controlling your reactions. And then you start to become terrified. Fear overwhelms your sense of reality. Moses shows this progression of fear. All along that progression, God wants to remind you that he can be with you, but you have to acknowledge that God is with you. Amen. I talked to somebody a couple weeks ago, and they said, I'm just feeling overwhelmed, and I'm feeling guilty and condemned. And they said, do you have a minute to talk? I said, I don't have a minute. I said, call me at 3 o'clock today. Call me later. But before you do, Google every verse that talks about condemnation and guilt. And then at 3 o'clock, we'll talk. And 3 o'clock came, and I called him, and he didn't answer. And eventually, he texts me. He says, hey, I'm good. I don't need to talk. I saw the verses. You're right. We just don't realize what God wants to say to us. So you got to be full of the word. Be full so that you can walk in victory and you're not thrown off with every little wave that comes. You know, when pressure comes on the Christian, we should still be able to stand strong.
Amen.
New believer, old believer, you should be able to stand strong. When you squeeze an orange, what happens? What do you get? Orange juice. Smart people up in the front. But it took us too long. When you squeeze a lime, what do you get? Lime juice. You squeeze a lemon, what do you get? Lemon juice. When you squeeze a Christian, what do you get? Jesus juice. But when you squeeze it, do you get, what comes out? When I get squeezed, what comes out? Is it complaining? Is it bitterness? Is it envy? Is it insecurity? Is it anger? Or is it Jesus juice? Is it believer juice? What's coming out? Because you know what? We're supposed to be full of what? Full of the Spirit, and what is there? There's a fruit of the Spirit.
Amen.
Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faithfulness. So when pressure comes, what's coming out of you? What you and I do every day when there's not a battle, That will be what we go to when we are in battle. When you repeat, you will repeat in peace, and that'll become your reflex under pressure. In other words, if you don't train in the word, you won't triumph in the wilderness. That's what Jesus did. Jesus was in the wilderness with the enemy, and the devil tempted him over and over in Matthew chapter 4. And over, Jesus says, no, as it is written. And every verse that he, by the way, every verse that he quoted was back in Deuteronomy. It was exactly what Moses was teaching the Israelites. But if you don't try, if you don't train in the word, you'll never triumph in the wilderness. You're supposed to be trained to go through wilderness, but those wilderness are not going to be long if you have the word in you. If you have the word in you, they'll be quick, you'll be past it, and it'll be from strength to strength, from battle to battle, from victory to victory. Alexander McLaren said this, anxiety does not empty tomorrow of its sorrow, it empties today of its strength. But too many times we have too much anxiety and worry. You know, worry, the original word in the English, it means to strangle. So when you let worry inside of you, worry is going to attack you, but you have to reject it. You say, no, that's not a fruit of the Spirit. Worry's not a fruit of the Spirit. God didn't give me a spirit of fear. He gave me a spirit of a sound mind. But when worry tries to come on you, it tries to strangle you, tries to strangle life, tries to strangle God's will, tries to strangle all of the fruit of the Spirit, and you have to say, no, I do not receive worry today. I'm going to use God's word as a weapon.
Amen.
Number three, and we're going to close. I'm going to ask the band and the singers to come. Number three, don't get distracted from the battle you're meant to fight. Look, this is what Moses says. I want you to stick with me because we read it, but I want to break it down. These verses might sound a little strange. The officers shall say to the army, "Has anyone built a new house and not yet begun to live in it? Let him go home, or he may die in battle, and someone else may begin to live in it. Has anyone planted a vineyard and not yet begun to enjoy it? Let him go home, or he may die in battle, and someone else enjoy it. Has anyone become pledged to a woman and not married her? Let him go home, or he may die in battle, and someone else may marry her." You know what he's saying? He's saying, take care of home first. You know why? Because when you think of battles, you're thinking of, oh, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do this. God's saying, hey, I want a good warrior, but the best warrior is someone who's whole on the inside and whose private life is made complete, whose private life is healthy. God is saying, hey, I care about the war, but I care about you. You notice how Moses says, hey, we're gonna have some soldiers that are gonna see chariots and they're gonna see horses. We're gonna have some soldiers and we're gonna send them home. Have some soldiers, we're gonna send them to the vineyards. Gonna have some soldiers, we're gonna send them down to their spouses. He's got different battles for all of us. For some of you, what are you fighting for today? You fighting for your mission? Are you fighting for God's will? Are you fighting for a relationship? Are you fighting for a vocation? Are you fighting financially? Are you fighting for your children? Are you fighting for your home? Are you fighting for your spouse? Whatever you're fighting for, God is with you today, but you gotta fight the battle that God has for you, not somebody else's. There is a battle that God has for you, but you have to be in tune with God. Where do you want my feet to be at? You know, even if you look at the Old Testament, you look at David, his brothers were off fighting the Philistines. He was left with the sheep. Guess what battle David had to fight? He had to fight against the bear and the lion to protect his sheep at that point. Then when he went to the battle against the Philistines, then he fought there. But you've got to fight where your feet are at. So if you've got something at home, you got to put home first. If you've got something in your private life, you've got to deal with that first, and then God will give you new battles. It's battle after battle. And then he cares about every, you know, Elizabeth Elliot said this, fear arises when we imagine that everything depends on us. See, sometimes we take on battles that we're not supposed to take on, because we start to think that we're captain of the Lord's army. God says, hey, no, I don't need you to fight this one yet. I need you to go home and take care of that. I need you to take care of this relationship in your life first. Then I'm gonna give you new battles. So you can't start to think that everything depends on you, because then you start fighting battles that God has not equipped you for yet. Yet. God is equipping you, but it's through the battles that he equips us. God's not just interested in raising up fighters, he's interested in raising up people. Amen. He wants to raise each and every one of us up.
Amen.
And then it says, I just want to read this last verse. Say one more thing, and then we're gonna sing, we're gonna close, we're gonna pray here at the altar. Last verse that I read earlier. Verse 8 says this, then the officers shall add, is anyone afraid or faint-hearted? Let him go home so that his fellow soldiers will not become disheartened too. You know that fear can be contagious? So for some of us, the battle that we might be fighting is, are there contagions around me that I've let get closer and closer? Have I let fear spread into me? Have I let something spread into me that God doesn't want? You might have good people in your life that are still spreading fear into you, and you gotta get those people out of your life. That might be the battle. There might be things that are being pervasive from at work you're letting get into you, and you've got to put a stop to that. You've got to ask the Holy Spirit for strength to say, no, nothing gets inside of me except the fruit of the Spirit today.
Amen.
Fear is contagious. It can spread, and it can start to make you feel fearful just like the person next to you when you're called to be strong and courageous. We'll sing in a moment if the singers could come, but I've got a friend. He has a daughter. I think she's 8 or 9. And a couple of years ago, they had a carnival in their neighborhood. And they started to put up the rides, and she got all excited. She saw the rides. And when she saw the swings go up, you know the swings that, like, it raises up and then you kind of swing? When she saw those, she said, I want to go on those, Daddy. So every day of the week, she said, Dad, can we go to the swings on Friday? Dad, can we go to the swings on Friday? Not the carnival, like the swings. And so he said, yes, we'll go. So Friday was swings day. And they go to the carnival. She rides a couple rides. But when she got to the swings, she wasn't tall enough yet. So, like, sorry, we can't do the swings this time. So the next year came. And for months, she's saying, Daddy, am I tall enough to ride the swings this year? Am I tall enough to ride the swings? Yes. So sure enough, the carnival comes. They start to see all the rides go up. They start to see the swings go up. Daddy, Friday, can we go to the swings? Can we go to the swings? Yes, over and over. Friday, they go to the swings. And her dad get on the ride, and they're next to each other. And as it goes up, she gets so afraid. And I don't know, what are those rides? 3 or 4 minutes? For 3 or 4 minutes, screaming, just like bloody murder. Like, ah! So afraid for the very thing that she asked for. So terrified. And when they got off, my friend was like, we are never doing that again. So a year goes by. And this year the carnival comes back again. She says, Dad, can we go to the carnival Friday? All my friends from school are going. Yes, we'll go to the carnival. In the back of his head, he's like, no swings. So she rides one ride, and then all of her friends are going on the swings. She's like, Daddy, I'm going to go on the swings. He's like, are you sure? And she's like, yeah. And he doesn't want to bring up, he doesn't want to sow that seed. So he's like, all right. So she gets on, and she starts laughing. She's going nuts. She's just laughing. And she gets off and she says, that was so much fun. That was so great. And he's so confused. And so they're walking home and he says, hey, what happened on the swings? She's like, oh, it was fun. He's like, yeah, but last year you were so afraid. And she looks at him confused. She's like, well, Daddy, they changed it. He's like, what did they change? She was like, everything. It's just a different ride now. And he looked back and he's like, they didn't change anything. You know what changed was her. So many times we can face a battle and we get so afraid, but if we have somebody to help us go through it, we can get through on the other side, and we look back and we feel like it was a different battle, but no, it was a different you. God has a new you to go through that new battle. God is making you stronger now through each and every battle so that you can be more equipped for the next battle.